Welcome back to the newest episode of Cool Guys Wearing Shades on a Podcast in Their House. I'm Jordan. This is Eric. We've returned. We're back to On the Level Podcast. Can you see my eyes? They're real.
Give the people a good look at your eyes. I have these horrible under eye circles.
Why, buddy?
I had to work late last couple nights.
True. I was up late last night.
Stay up till 7 a.m.
I was seeing Black Panther in the theater. Panther. Yeah, but we're back.
We're back. We haven't tried to do this two other times and failed before.
For those watching, over the last month, we shot two versions of this comeback episode. We did one with our boy Nick. We just fucked that up. That was on us. Then we used a program called Riverside. .fm, and they're like a podcasting service or whatever.
This is for you, Riverside.fm. You fucking
it's cool.
Suck.
Like the service is cool, what they provide, but once you're done with the edit of your show, or once you like have your show cut the way you want within their program, it sends it to them, and then I guess they process it and send you a link so you can download your video. Well, we did that multiple times for like a week, and we never got the completed edit sent back to us. So yeah. word to the wise, if you're trying to do a podcast, learn how to edit yourself, produce it yourself, keep it all in house, because the minute you put that shit in other people's hands, you miss your deadline. They're all trying to, you know, how can we help you? I'm like, just give me my shit. We ended up not getting it. I asked for a refund. I canceled the service. We'll just do it. Eric and I will just do it the old school way.
Yeah. We're going to explore multiple ways how to do it. Right now we're using Zoom. Zoom. Little finicky so far, but we'll see how it is. The exporting process is much better though, because Zoom actually records it and they get your file immediately and it's on your desktop, not on some server, which is nice.
Nice.
So we'll see how it goes with this, but so far I think it's fine. I wish I could use my headphones, but for some reason I can't. So
I have mine. Also, I'm not bald. I know it looks like I'm bald. My hair is just tied up. I have hair. From this shot, from the front on, it looks like I shaved my head.
You look like the little Munster.
Oh, well, with the
Eddie
Widow's
Munster,
Peak?
Yeah.
Did you ever watch? Did they ever tease Eddie Munster in the Munsters?
No, they don't tease anything in that movie.
It's just a straight up prequel.
It's a terrible movie, terrible prequel. I'm not even sure what it is. Nothing happens in that movie. Literally, nothing happens. They just. No conflict. It was like two. I think it was close to 2 hours.
I wanted to watch it, but just because it looked terrible,
bad.
Not for any particular good reason.
It's not even good bad. It's not good bad either.
It's just bad bad.
It's just bad bad. Yeah.
What's a movie that I saw recently that was good bad?
Black Panther 2, Wakanda Forever.
Don't you fucking dare. You are racist. You don't like Mexicans. You don't like black people. You're a racist.
I got my black shirt on today, dude.
Oh, you got your black shirt on. You're good. Sorry, I'm a little congested. It's like fucking 40 degrees in California. I'm freezing.
Yeah, please excuse poor little Jordan had to move on back to California.
Yeah.
You know, birds always go back to where they're from. So
move back to good old Long Beach, California. My place of birth, my place of origin. I lived here for a couple of years from 2010 to 2012. And then I moved back to Florida to do my complete high school, complete the college years. That's when I met Eric, started the podcast, got derailed a bunch. We tried doing this. I think our last episode of On the Level was April 2021.
Yes. Yes.
Which, by the way, are you fucking kidding me? I was going to say with this new technology, we can share our screen and I can actually show you guys what it looks like. So if you see here, if I open up my... Will this all record as well, Eric?
I believe so.
So you see my Spotify here?
Yeah.
See my podcast, High Vertical. Shout out High Vertical.
Oh, this that's a podcast, sports podcast.
Sports podcast that you do with our homie Nick Gammon.
Yes, sir.
It is a weekly NFL, NBA... roundup, if you will, Like,
it says it right there in that about that tells
Eric
you what
and Nick
it's all about.
The latest in Miami Dolphins news, Tampa Bay Buccaneers news, and major headlines in the NFL and college. So yeah, everyone
and we
subscribe.
Do basketball stuff. Yeah,
basketball stuff. Whatever. Subscribe. Give it a listen. I like this thumbnail here.
It's a great thumbnail.
But yeah, if you go to our podcast, what was it? On the level. Yeah. So you see on the level with Jordan and Eric. Welcome back. You're here. Our last episode was episode 100, titled Milestone.
So this is episode 101.
I would like to say that you guys are getting in on the ground floor of this new thing, but it's really just a continuation of the old thing. Mm-hmm. But this being episode 101, we have video. We're uploading this to Spotify. We're going to put it on YouTube as well. But I think our primary focus will be Spotify. So please subscribe there. Do all the likes and the follows and the shares.
Mm-hmm.
I think up here, none of this changes. Conversational podcast for your entertainment. DM us at thelevelpod@gmail.com with comments, questions, concerns. If you guys want to write in, ask us questions, we'll do that. And we're on iTunes and all the, what is this, anchor.fm? Are we still using this?
Yeah, it's the, how we put it out. Yeah. So yeah. Shout out Anchor. It's still the best way to produce podcasts on.
Become a supporter.
Become a supporter, yeah.
Believe it or not, but Eric, between you and me, I'll let the audience in on this. Our only financial supporter throughout our entire run of the podcast last time was my mom.
Shout out Merciless.
She was donating like $5 a month or something like that. So shout out mom. She's out there in Qatar, you know, contributing to American colonialism and building the Qatar soccer World Cup stadiums with indentured servants. So shout out to mom.
Shout out mom. Shout out mama.
Real quick, is the World Cup's happening in December?
It starts actually starts very soon.
Yeah, did they move it from the summer next year to the holiday this year?
It was actually supposed to take place. It's usually every 2 to 4 years. It's every like 4 years. So last one was 2018. So it usually takes place during the summer. It's like a summer thing between the professional seasons of soccer.
Right.
But since it's a safety hazard to have these players running out in the middle of the desert during the summer solstice.
Like 150 degree weather.
Yeah, not the smartest idea. And so they had to push it to the winter solstice.
Will you be supporting in any way watching this World Cup series?
I'll definitely be watching it, yes. I'm a huge fan of football. I do not support it, you know, happening, but the players playing in it, they had no really any say in what's going on. So
yeah, sure.
I do it for the players and the teams. So
isn't there's drama with like, what is it, FIFA and then a new organization trying to come in?
Well, there's FIFA who runs the World Cup and a lot of the international competitions. Mm-hmm. And they're a highly corrupt group of individuals. And there's going to be a documentary out on Netflix about it, I think.
Is that the one that now. That Rob McElhenney and
yeah, that's called
Ryan
that's
Reynolds.
Not that. Yes, yeah, I know what you, yeah. That's not. That's don't worry about
unrelated.
That. Unrelated, okay. Yeah. And shows how the corrupt how FIFA is, but there's another organization called UEFA, which is a European Football Commission, and they're the second biggest football thing. They're also pretty corrupt. So yeah, it's all corrupt.
Is it the
sports.
One that they're funded by the Saudi government or whatever?
No, they're not funded by it. They're not funded by the Saudis. You're thinking about Live or Live, the golf tournament thing.
Yeah, that's right. The PGA competitor or whatever. Yeah. Anyways, hopefully you and Nick talk more about the FIFA shit on High Vertical and that's going on because God knows I don't give a fuck.
I will. We both find it interesting.
So yeah, again, welcome everybody. We're just going to get right into it. We have some topics on here. I think when we first started doing the show in like 2015, when it was audio only, we were very primarily focused on gaming because that's our mutual hobby, if you will. So I think I definitely want to keep a lot of this podcast for the gamers. But as, of course I meet tons of people out here in California at my job. So it's like, welcome new people. Welcome non-gamers, welcome people that want to just get to know us and stick around. We talk about more than just games, but very game heavy, and movies and TV and whatever the fuck, pretty much whatever the fuck we want to talk about.
And manga.
And manga. And Eric's Anime Corner, my favorite segment. Yeah. Oh, real quick. Update. Bro, what is this fucking McAfee pop-up on my shit, dude? Getting all these dumbass pop-ups. Shout out.
On McAfee.
Shout out. Switch OLED. I got one.
We're in Jordan's Tech Corner. Jordan's got the latest piece of tech.
This is a money phone. Hey, money phone.
You take it to work?
No, I just got it yesterday.
Oh.
I'm trying to do the transfer. Look at the kickstand, though. Ooh, ooh, look at that. Look at that. Pretty neat, dude. Are you getting Pokemon Scarlet and Violet at all?
No.
I'm not interested?
Yeah, not at all. No.
I am, because I liked Arceus, and that was pretty mediocre. So hopefully this is better.
Mm.
All right, where do you want to start, dude?
Since you know we just finished our Switch gaming, big gaming week. It's the beginning of the end for the backlogs, everybody.
If you haven't made a dent in your backlog, that time is gone.
Yeah, I did not do a good job this year, so
I platinumed Horizon. I'm trying to platinum original God of War, but now I'm playing Ragnarok. I bought Ratchet and Clank for the PS5. I'm trying to beat Returnal still. I mean, I'm overwhelmed, to be honest.
The backlog died Wednesday of last week. God of War, Ragnarok release.
Want to start with this one? Let's do it.
Yeah, I think this is on Tuesday, Sonic Frontiers released. And too much. Much acclaim. It's I think it has like a insane user review score on Steam right now. I think it's sitting at a 90. I think
really?
It's like over a 70 on Metacritic.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, I see. This doesn't make sense. I'm looking at Steam's. I see 10 out of 10 rating on Steam. That doesn't make sense to me.
Well, user reviews. I mean, it's anybody can review a game on Steam.
All right, so obviously, friends of the show, All Unsaved Progress Will Be Lost podcast, Jared, Patrick, sometimes our homie Garrett. As far as I know, Jared and Garrett have already beaten Sonic Frontiers.
I know Jared has. I'm not sure
Jared about Garrett. Has. Garrett's has? At least more than half.
Jared definitely beat it. Yeah.
Also, we're recording this on November 11th. November 12th. We should have started there. Yeah, Jared's beaten it. I've only played about 2 hours of the game on Tuesday.
Mm-hmm.
It came out at 9 p.m. California time. So I jumped into it before bed, played for a couple hours. And then the next day was God of War. But I actually have to go to my day job on Wednesdays and Thursdays. So those 2 days I could not play at all. I work 10-hour days. So then Friday, which was yesterday, I couldn't really game much. I was kind of busy throughout the day. And then I ended up seeing Black Panther at night, which, by the way, long ass movie. We'll get to that later. So I haven't had much time to play either Sonic or God of War, but in Sonic, what I can say based off what I've seen and what I've experienced, it's definitely the best Sonic game we've had since
Unleashed.
Unleashed in terms of like the scope and like what they're doing and the directional change, but I would say I like Colors as like the boost level designs and what they did with the world and the story. But Unleashed is like more in the vein of the adventure style, big world Sonic adventure that I like.
Unleashed also stinks, by the way. That game is Unleashed? Yeah, it's half a good game, half a terrible.
Well, I was watching Jared and Garrett stream it the other day, last week actually, and
I was too.
It's shout like the daytime Lightning levels.
Zero.
Shout out Lightning Zero on Twitch. Check them out. The daytime levels are the best parts of that game, and the hub worlds are cool for a Sonic game. But the nighttime levels
are just the mash them up, beat them ups. There's not really much challenge to them. They play awful. They're slow. They're clunky. To me, it's like it turned me off from ever really finishing the game because there's also aren't there more nighttime levels than daytime?
There's way more nighttime levels than daytime levels.
That's inexcusable.
And the worst part is at the end of the game when you're doing like the final Eggman level, It's like, it's literally, it's like a 45 minute level, and it's part of the level is daytime. You go through a change and it's nighttime. You go through a change and it's daytime. You go through a change and night. So it's that whole 45 minutes is jumping back and forth between the
just
day and
awful.
The night.
Just sad. Terrible.
But in a similar vein as Sonic Frontiers, both games like do cool new things and then fail in a lot of other departments. So I think as far as Sonic fans are concerned, which obviously I am one.
I understand, I can appreciate the failures of like, say if Sonic, I'm going to play Sonic Frontiers eventually, mm-hmm. but at least like you play as Sonic the whole fucking game. You're not like some fucking werewolf half the time. The other side of the game, you're still running around fast and it looks entertaining. So
Frontiers?
Yeah, I mean, Frontiers does look fun.
It's cool. Like the world is open. You know, Sonic controls as well as he can, I guess. Like, mm-hmm. he's still kind of clunky. I posted it on my Twitter account. Follow me on Twitter. It's dying, but follow me there anyways. There's like I had a glitch in my first hour where I get stuck and on a platform between a platform and a rock. And I'm like, why is this happening in fucking 2022?
So fast.
AAA game. Like, but it's,
and it's
just
also Sonic.
The geometry of the levels is weird because it's like this huge open world that's just totally empty. And then the platforms and the rails are kind of scattered throughout. And all my my concerns for that during the reveal are all still present in the game. It's, I think you actually brought up to me, like, you're like, you're not worried for this game. You were like looking pretty down on it when it was revealed. And I was like, mm-hmm. no, I'm excited. It's like, I'm still excited, but that shit still sucks. Platform
cool, the cool forward. Stuff that you can do physics wise is really cool in Sonic Frontiers. I thought I want to do some of the stuff. People were drawing Among Us characters.
Yeah, so Sonic, if you hold triangle, he does a thing where he has a trail,
and you like, and if you make a circle, you go make a boost or something, or
you get rings out of the circle if you complete a circle. If you circle around enemies, it'll like do damage on them, and then you could do a homing attack and like bounce off of them. So it's like the combat is new. Like Sonic has all these, he has a skill tree and he has all these new moves. Some of the old moves are back, like the boost, obviously, the sidestepping, the slam down. Those are all still there. I'm actually, you know what I have to do? So I got the email.
Oh, the soap shoes.
Sega for the soap shoes from Sonic Adventure 2. But I got that like after I started the game. And I know you have to upload or install that before you start the game, so I have to start over, but luckily I'm only like 2 hours in, so that's what.
Yeah, and you got to go fast, baby.
Shout out to the music, bro.
Yeah, the music is pretty good. I like the music a lot.
The music.
Really good. A lot
Sonic
of drum and
music
bass
is
stuff.
always good. Really quick, actually, for those listening that might be interested, our good buddies, as we're just talking about, Jared and Garrett, they started a Sonic the Hedgehog playlist on Spotify called Supersonic Jams, and there's 173 songs, 9 hours, 7 minutes of music, and it's literally stuff from Adventure, from Heroes, Shadow. Yeah,
gotta add
but
some
Frontier stuff in there, but I love this playlist as a Sonic fan. I'm always here popping around listening to music. Just wanted to shout that out real quick. Again, Supersonic Jams, it's a public playlist, so anybody could go to it. But yeah, man, I'm looking forward to playing more of it, hopefully after we finish recording this shit, because I actually haven't had time at all to play, like I said, in the last few days. But yeah, man, shout out to Sonic Frontiers. What else you got to say about it? Are you done with it?
I'm done with Sonic Frontiers. Also, I love the reception of it on the internet right now. It's just like everyone's like praising the scores and stuff, and it's like Sonic fans for the first time. In a long ass time, you're not a joke amongst the commoners.
Not a joke among us.
A little sus lately.
God, this light is so bright in my face.
God of War. Moving on to God of War.
Oh, so God of War Ragnarok. Let me set this up real quick.
Okay.
God of War 2018. It came out 4/20/2018. I remember vividly. Incredible story, blew me away. Continuation of God of War franchise from
PS1.
PS2 era. PS1, or no, they're all
PS2. No, PS2. PS2, sorry.
PS2, PS3, some of the PSP games, God of War 2018. People have asked me, Is it a continuation of those? It is. So you don't have to play them, but you should probably know the story because
yeah, just watch a YouTube video. It's not much.
2018 addresses a lot of that. And then obviously Ragnarok just came out on, what was it? 11/9/9,
yep.
2022, which is supposed to be intentional because there's a real life blood moon lunar eclipse, as well as in the Norse mythology lore, the start of Ragnarok is there's a blood moon lunar eclipse.
Mm.
So I thought that the timing of that was very cool and
very clever
and exciting. And this is like the whole 11/11/22 week and the blood moon eclipse and the lunar eclipse. And there's a lot of cool stuff going on. A lot of things are coming to an end, if you will, whether it's Ragnarok or Atlanta season 4 or fucking Black Panther addressing the passing of Chadwick Boseman. Like, I think it's weird. If you're into numerology or all that, you know, shit. I just think it's cool that these things are all kind of coinciding in a weird way with the real eclipse, because that was cool. Mm. But anyways, how much of it have you played so far?
Before, you know what I haven't watched, and I watched it for the first time yesterday, 2 days ago, was the God of War documentary Raising Kratos.
Oh, yeah, I've seen. I watched it again for the second time.
Yeah, I watched it for the first time, and I'm not sure why I never watched it in the first place. I guess it is pretty long, but
it's
I was at work.
It's like 2 hours.
Yeah, I was at work, and I need something to watch. Yeah, interesting. Really good documentary. Corey Barlog is probably like the most chaotic game director there is right now. He didn't direct this game. He's like a producer on it.
Yeah,
or created, like he helped with the story or whatever. But yeah, the dude's nuts. For a good way, you know, he's a nice guy.
Eric Williams is the guy that directed this God of War Ragnarok, but Corey Barlog is still like an executive producer.
Yeah, he's making his space game, apparently. That's what he's making.
Shout out space.
So yeah, Ragnarok, I've played 13 hours of it so far. Mm-hmm. I still believe that's, I think this game is supposed to be pretty long. I believe it's going to be way longer, or I think it is going to be long, much longer than the original 2018 version.
Good. It took 5 years to make.
Huh?
It took 5 years to make. It better be long.
Yeah. So it is fucking awesome. I love it. It's very good. That first hour of the game, I guess we could. It's
yeah. So this is just the first impressions.
We're not going to go deep into spoilers, but the first, we will spoil the first hour of the game because I think it's designed so well. Yeah, I want to talk about it. But the combat is fucking awesome. I think it's much better. It flows a little bit. It flows a lot better. It's a lot clickier and simpler to use. I love holding down triangle and making the X all icy. It's really satisfying. I'm also playing on the second hardest difficulty.
Same.
Which is pretty difficult. I would say it's pretty challenge. It's a nice little challenge. You die a lot. Atreus is fucking cool.
Mm-hmm.
Shout
out to Sonny Soljic, who plays Atreus, and Christopher Judge, that plays Kratos. Their performances in 2018 were phenomenal and even better in this one.
I will say God of War is God of War the new. Is God of War the new
Sony,
Boyhood for video games?
What do you mean Boyhood?
Boyhood, movie by Richard Linklater, follows the life of a young man, mm-hmm. young boy into a man. And in this game, Sonny has grown up. You know, he's like the same. He's a kid. He was a kid in 2018. I think they filmed the game in 2016, 14, 15.
I think in Raising Kratos, they started casting and all the pre-production in like 2014.
Yeah. So
right after God of War Ascension.
So he's like a teenager now, and it's awesome to see. Like, it's cool that they're not getting a new actor or anything. It's like, you can tell that they're going to he's going to eventually, mm-hmm. There he is.
Sonny Soljic is 17 years old.
He looks like a garbage pail kid.
Hey, he's like my man's. He's a cute kid. I mean, he's handsome now. Look at him. He's grown up.
Look at that. That's a Chad face. That's not real, dude.
He's kind of a Chad, but he's skater, professional skater. If you guys don't know, he's in the movie mid-90s. Obviously, just Jonah Hill's directorial debut. He's excellent in that movie. What was his name? Stevie. His name was Stevie.
Little Stevie.
He was in there with Nikhil Smith, which, by the way, I was at a skating event 2 weeks ago, and Nikhil Smith and Sonny Soljic were both there, and I didn't even think to ask Sonny about God of War Ragnarok. I just said, oh shit, it's you. You're the guy.
You say, Atreus.
No, I was just like, oh shit, Sonny. He just like was like, what up? And then I was like, damn, I didn't even ask about God of War Ragnarok. But he probably, obviously, NDAs. He's not going to say anything anyways.
He's like, I can't say nothing.
But he's like a teenager. He's a teenager now in the game.
Yeah.
I don't know how old he is, but.
I think he's probably like 15, 14, something. But it's been some time since the original. I mean, since 2018 in the game, in game time. It's been some time. Thimblewinter has set Midgard to a forever winter.
At the end of 2018, when you go home, or after you kill Baldur in the finale of the game, spoilers for God of War 2018, the Fimbulwinter begins, so you go home and there's already snow falling, so it's presumably this is like, you know, towards the tail end of a winter season when Ragnarok picks up.
I wanted to
ask you about that actually. So in 2018 at the end, there's that tease with Thor. When you go home and then Thor shows up and Kratos is like, who are you?
Yeah.
And you see the hammer and then it cuts to black. And then in this game, that's still canon and they pick it up from there, but it's different. It's different.
No, it's not. No, it's not. It's so the way they explain it is that Atreus, that thing that we saw at the end, like when you go home and sleep, apparently that was just one of Atreus's visions.
Right.
And those visions tend to be blurry and not really what happened. So he told Kratos when they woke up the next day, like, hey, I saw this thing where Thor showed up.
Shit. Right.
He was like, oh, whatever. So then eventually when it does, I was like, oh, shit, I dreamt that.
Okay. Because they framed it the exact same way where
yeah.
They're sleeping and they come out of the house and Thor shows up. Then when I was playing that segment, I was hyped. But then it kind of like slowed down.
Well, the thing is, like, they did it perfectly because I felt like in the original, Baldur shows up and he's like, yo, what the fuck?
And they start fighting like off the bat.
But so when Thor showed up, Thor is different from Baldur. Thor is like, if you read the little lore, like the codex, when like after you meet him, like Kratos says, where Thor likes to fight. He likes the bloodlust. He doesn't want it to be quick and easy. He wants it to like last long. So he'll draw it out as long as possible. Odin showing up. And I love the guy who they cast as Odin. That is a perfect casting, dude. I love that. Like, dude, he's in a bunch of stuff. But it's like some little sneevely little rat kind of a guy. Older guy, real skinny.
Ragnarok, Odin.
Just type in God of War Ragnarok IMDb.
True. Internet Movie Database. Oh, why aren't you using Letterboxd, Eric? Your favorite app.
Too bad. Letterboxd doesn't have games.
They should, though. They should get on that.
There it is. Richard Schiff. Right there. Richard Schiff. That guy.
What else has he done?
He's in a bunch of stuff, dude. He was
known for Man of Steel as Dr. Emil Hamilton.
He was in the Jurassic Park, The Lost World. I remember that.
Oh, is he the...
He's in Seven, yeah.
Is he in a lot of stuff. Jurassic Park 2, he's the clever girl.
Yeah, clever. No, he's not. That's not him.
Oh, this guy.
Yeah.
What do I recognize him from? He
kind of gives the Good Doctor.
The Good Doctor.
Scenes from the Good Doctor.
Stanley Tucci vibes.
But yeah, he's cool. He plays like a interesting version of Odin.
No spoilers past the first hour or so.
I haven't
gotten too far. But does Odin? Have you seen Odin again yet?
No.
Where you're at?
No.
Okay.
No.
Only the beginning.
Only the beginning. But I feel like it works because throughout the whole 2018 game, they set up Odin to be like this, like conniving, like backstabbing, like really in like political guy, like very, very clever, very he's not someone who's gonna fight you physically, but he could kill you, like he can, but he's not. He's very like
he's trying to like
under the table. He's very under the table.
He's trying to like
backstabby.
He's trying to manipulate Kratos and Atreus into doing what he wants, but he doesn't want to just forcefully take it from them. He wants to like give them a chance
because,
to try and
Because that's how he fights and that's how he wins. And that and like so when he has to like when he gives Thor like, all right, fuck it, you know, just do it, make it quick, and then him and Thor start fighting, dude, and Thor like takes you up in the sky. Dude, it's fucking awesome. That whole
Fight sequence with Thor in the beginning was so fun, so cool.
So fun, so cool. Like, I love Thor's design. Not like he's like fat and like he looks like a fucking huge ass Viking dude. Like, he's so much taller than Kratos.
Mm-hmm. Real quick, on the tip of God of War 2018, the guy that plays Balder, his name's Jeremy Davies. This guy?
Davies, yeah.
The night I beat God of War 2018 for the second time, I was watching Black Phone. This guy was the fucking dad in Black Phone.
Yeah, he's like the drunk dad in Black Phone.
Yeah, he was incredible though. Like, I think his performance as Boulder is great.
Yeah.
But shout out to that guy. That's shout all. Out.
But yep, God of War. I won't spoil anything further than that. You fight Thor and eventually that starts off your quest. But I will say a lot of 2018 in this game, story structure, like they both start off kind of the same, but then eventually like you see, oh, this is Ragnarok is not 2018. Like they let you know like, hey, it's going to be different.
Like, what I like about it so far is like it starts in Midgard, which is presumably the Earth realm or the normal neutral realm.
Where
and
the
then
humans
all the
live, yes.
All the other realms are around Midgard. And mm-hmm. then it's a familiar setting from 2018 because it's
well,
the
it's
same
not
Midgard.
Like that. No, I believe in Norse mythology, the Yggdrasil everything is
tree.
Stacked. They're stacked. They're not inserted. It's all stacked. All the realms are like stacked on one of another, I believe.
Yeah. And in 2018,
like a tree,
there's that tier temple that a lot of the game takes place on in the middle of Midgar where you can travel between the realms.
Mm-hmm.
In Ragnarok now, in the beginning, you see it, all the stuff from the first game, but it's snowed, it's decrepit, it's like mm-hmm. shit has kind of gone down over the Fimbul winter. Mm-hmm. And then what I liked was the realm travel in this game was different than the realm travel in the first game.
Because
in Ragnarok, you actually go between all the realms as opposed mm-hmm. to in 2018, you only went through like three or four.
Yeah, I think I might have been four, and then one of them
went through
was
Midgard,
like
you went through Helheim, you went through Muspelheim, and then you went through Jotunheim at the end. So the four.
Mm-hmm.
And then this one, they add Svartalheim, they add Niflheim. Oh, Alfheim is where the elves are, or the dark mm-hmm. elves and all that.
Mm-hmm.
But the realm travel now is like those doorways that pop up can just take you to the realm.
Yeah.
As opposed to having to go to Midgard and the temple and do all mm-hmm. that. Mm-hmm. They've shortened it.
And the way that you unlock realms once you figure that out is very interesting. Because I was gonna say
I've gotten to the part where I've gone to Sindri's house in the realm between realms. Mm-hmm. That's really cool how they do that.
I love that. I love that place.
Do you like Brock and Sindri? Like, do you have fun with them, those characters?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. I love Sindri. Sindri's my dude. Yeah. Sindri holds it down, dude. Sindri.
I really like Mimir, dude. Mimir is...
Oh, of course. What are you talking about?
Like, Mimir, the voice acting is great, but also
dude,
just
Mimir
like
is goated with the sauce, dude. You know, Kratos puts his little fucking wiener in his mouth every night, you know?
No. What I like about Mimir, like, in this game... He's really part of the crew with Kratos
like,
and Atreus.
Like when they, there's
man, fuck the Zoom shit.
Okay,
sorry about that.
There's a character in the game who like refers to Mimir like he's she. They're like, you three go around just causing all this like mayhem and war and like like destruction, and like they reference like Mimir as a part of the three. When he's just a fucking head.
Well, yeah, he is, because like what I was gonna say is he's part of Kratos's belt or whatever. He's attached to his belt, but mm-hmm. there's so much dialogue where Atreus is like gone on doing his own thing, and it's just Kratos and Mimir, and
into Mimir this like just using because like he provides counsel to both Atreus and
Bro,
Kratos.
I love that. I love
but,
that.
But like the counsel he provides Kratos is much different because it's like he's trying to give him parental advice. And it's like, hey man, it's just like, hey Kratos, you should.
Well, I like when he goes, I like that Mimir calls Kratos brother.
Like, brother, and like so, and Kratos calls him brother too.
That's cute. Yeah.
Like, Kratos calls him brother. I'm like, oh my god, they're fucking.
He's like, you all right, brother? Or like in combat, if your health is low, he goes,
brother,
there's health over there or whatever.
It's fucking, I love their relationship because, and like also that. One thing I noticed in this game, Kratos doesn't call Atreus boy anymore. He calls him Atreus.
Atreus to me.
Yeah, he doesn't call him boy because he's grown up.
Dude, Atreus is the man, bro.
I can't wait for you to play more. There's so much more I want to talk about. But I want to leave it there. I guess
we'll definitely do a whole spoiler cast podcast about it, where we talk about it all. I will say, at the beginning as well, no spoilers. The very beginning of the game, folks. The death of Atreus's wolf Fenrir got me.
Yeah, very touching. Really very me. Touching. I was on the verge of tears.
He'll come back. Will he come back?
Maybe.
I predict he will, because I know Fenrir is a big part of the Norse mythology lore and all that. So. Presumably he might come back. Before we move on about God of War Ragnarok, obviously it's a technical, like, creative decision wise like, it's a beautiful game that runs great. The art is incredible. The attention to detail of everything is, I mean, it really shows the 4-year development cycle, like, was used well with Santa Monica Studios. I wanted to mention in Svartalheim, the dwarven realm, like the first big city you go to in the game, there's a cool moment where, well, first of all, there's a city now to explore in God of War, which wasn't in 2018. Mm-hmm. That's cool. You're actually able to ride your boat through a city, go through it. There's roads and streets and shops. And then there's a couple of dwarf houses that you can go through to collect things. Mm-hmm. And I noticed the scale of Kratos, where it's like Mimir said earlier, he's like, you're as tall as a tree. And then next to Thor, Kratos looks short. But then in the Dwarven Kingdom, Kratos is so fucking big, he has to like duck to get under the door frame. And he's like crouching through the house. And you see like the dwarves, like their little chairs and their little tables. And I was like, oh, this is cool. Like the attention to detail is really cool. I like that stuff.
And did you know? Did you get to the tavern in that town?
I think so.
Did you see the guy playing the instrument?
Yes, 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 yes.
That's the composer of the game.
McCreary.
Whatever his name is.
His name is Bear McCreary.
In the Raising Kratos documentary, he's like, and they're interviewing, and he has like that fucking weird like instrument where he's like cranking it with his hand. Like this.
Can I share my screen? It's not letting me.
Oh, yeah.
Share my screen. Sorry. With you. Fucking Zoom, dude.
There you go.
One moment, folks. I wanted to show everybody this. This is my YouTube account algorithm. A lot of Black Panther stuff.
Man, Tim Pool is about to review Black Panther.
I watched this from the Rolling Stones. It was the composer Bear McCreary talking about what inspired him and how he did the score and all that. Apparently he did music for, I think he also did music for Stargate, which is funny because that's where Christopher Judge got popular before they cast him as Kratos. But also in God of War, last thing, the fuck this thing, bro. I hate these pop-ups, dude. The accessibility. You know what I'm talking about?
Yes. You should put Ragnarok. All right, just, yeah, it should be the first. No, come there on. It is. There
it's
it
the
is.
First thing, yeah.
Yeah.
Dude, I want everybody to see this. This is the kind of shit I appreciate about game design. People that take this in consideration. Look at this. Look at this guy. This guy that he has one arm and he's gaming with his mouth and his other arm. And so in the accessibility options, you can remap buttons to the touchpad or you can move buttons around. So like I was messing with them the other day. If you swipe down the touchpad, you could do like a 180 degree turn, or you could like open your map, or you could do left and right, or like you could press the touchpad. So this guy remapped the controls so he can play it with one arm and his mouth.
Wow.
And there's a lot of cool stuff. Like there's a girl on here that they have who is deaf in one ear. Here's the one arm guy. Shout out to this guy.
Damn, he died.
James Young. But Sony Santa Monica has a whole team dedicated for meeting with disabled players and asking them what they need. Hey, it's not funny. I'm being serious.
Here's the thing. I was like, do you think they're going to ever reuse that controller, or is he taking that home? So they just imagine, like, at the end of the game, it was like, you want it? It's like, no, you keep it. Keep it.
Look, check this. This is cool. This is really thoughtful of them. I appreciate this.
Oh my God. He just fucking beat the controller. Does it have to be really loud?
All she was saying was she's deaf in one ear. So with the Sony 3D audio, whatever, it sends vibrations from the left through her ear canal, and the vibrations are coming onto her right, as well as the sound from the right headphone. And then she can hear both sides in one ear.
Oh, cool.
But yeah, the accessibility features, everybody should mess with that. There's like auto picking up for items without having to constantly tap the button. There's a auto traversing, like jumping over ledges or climbing walls without having to press the button. I also swapped the rapid tap button to just hold, just because I'm over tapping. I hate, like, sometimes I just, my thumb hurts. For me personally, in God of War 2018, circle was evade and X was pick up. So I just beat God of War 2018. So I got used to pressing X to pick up stuff and circle to evade. But in this game, X is to evade and circle is to pick up. So you have the option to swap X and circle. And I've gotten used to evading with X because I find it's closer to the thumbstick. So I like turn and then press X as opposed to pressing circle.
Yeah, I like evading with X.
Yeah, same. Just a tip. So shout out to the accessibility features. That's all I just wanted to say. That stuff's awesome. Oh, and lastly, there's a collectible mode for the accessibility options where it'll highlight the collectibles in the world, like the ravens, so you can see them better.
Oh, I'll do that. Because there's a lot. There's a lot of that shit in that game.
A lot of those, and like especially the ravens, they can be so far away and they're like so bright, like they blend into the sky sometimes. Mm-hmm. So that's cool. But yeah, God of War Ragnarok, game of the year. Shout out. More than Elden Ring? What do you think?
Oh my God, Elden Ring came out this year. That's crazy. Oh man,
Elden Ring.
Sonic. I gotta beat God of War. But God of War is probably going to be the game of the year.
Did you beat Elden Ring?
Yeah, man. Fuck yeah, I beat Elden Ring. Shit. I ain't some punk-ass bitch. I fucking beat that game. Checking out my trophies, man. I beat that game. I beat it.
Not God of War. Fuck Elden Ring. Maybe one day I'll play it. I don't know. I can never get into those kinds of games. They're not really my jam.
Game
you know
is
that already.
Awesome. I guess we can move on to the other big thing that happened this weekend.
What's that?
You saw Black Panther 2 Wakanda Forever.
I did.
You have a bunch of notes.
I saw it last night. I just want everyone to see. Everyone can see my notes so you can see how prepared I am to talk about this. Here it is. Wakanda Forever. There's Namor. Shout out Namor. Tetsuya Namor.
Can we start at the beginning? All right.
All right, so Black Panther, Wakanda Forever. Are you going to watch this? Do you have any intention of seeing this movie?
No, I'm not going to watch this movie.
Why? Tell the audience right now why.
I don't care.
What do you not care about?
Don't care about Marvel? That's it.
So you have no
curiosity also hate,
to the
also
filmmaking
hate,
and the story
no,
and how they
I have
handled
no
it and
curiosity.
All that.
I have no curiosity. I wish... If you know, it'd be really cool if Ryan Coogler made an original movie about with all these cool signs and stuff instead of hiding behind cringe comic books.
I don't know if he's hiding. It's the job that he accepted. He could have fucking directed Creed 3, but instead Michael B. Jordan's directing that.
Or he could have directed an original piece, you know, something cool. I do feel like it's a waste of talent.
Even that's if it was executed well,
sure, it could be executed well, but to me it's just like it would have been to me it just would have been cool if Ryan Coogler made his own
Sure, I agree. I agree, but that's not the world we're living
in. I'm just saying. I have no interest in seeing Black Panther or some I was trying to think about why I don't want to see it.
You saw Shang-Chi, you racist.
Can't. No, it's not that. Yeah, it's also it's
why'd
it's,
you watch Shang-Chi?
Because I had to go on a date and it was like the only movie playing.
You sure did go on a date this year. I forgot.
I did.
Okay. So I'll talk about it.
Shout here. Out. You know, I have no hate towards the movie. I don't really come at a place to hate. I don't feel like going to movies to watch it. That's just
I get me. It.
Or this I just is, don't feel like watching it.
This is going to be for, this is just going to be me talking about what I thought of the movie for anyone who's
I can interested. Ask questions though.
You can ask questions. I didn't want to spoil it because it's so fresh still, but I also don't have any other medium where I'm going to end up talking about this. So I'm going to just talk about it in full spoilers. But I will say no spoiler stuff first, and then I will say spoil if you don't want to hear it. If you want to watch
COVID it, come back. Make an appearance? Did they talk about no, COVID?
But I have that in my notes.
The vaccine, anything about not taking the vaccine?
I have that in my notes because I watched a lot of reviewers avoid talking about that, and I'm going to mention that, but I have a particular.
Also, I feel like everybody forgot about that.
Exactly. And there's a lot of stuff it's people forget up. About I that I remember, and I'm going to be the one to give it to you straight.
Oh, here it is. He's going to tell you the truth, first. Folks.
So,
settle in, folks.
This movie is Ryan Coogler's fourth film, Fruitvale Station, Creed, Black Panther, and now this one. He didn't direct Creed 2, nor did he direct Judas and the Black Messiah, but I think he produced it. He's from Oakland, California. May, he's a May baby. Shout out to May. I had to put that in there just because you hate that.
I think Fruitvale is in Oakland.
Yes, he's from Oakland. Fruitvale is from Oakland. The story, Oscar Grant, took place in Oakland, California. So obviously, he's got a heart there.
Black Panther 1 takes first flashback to Oakland, California.
The first scene is in Oakland.
King T'Challa.
So a little background for the movie. Obviously 2018 Black Panther, the first one, came out. Everyone loved it. It was a hit. Chadwick Boseman was a star. I think that was like after he did 42, Jackie Robinson, and Get On Up. Like, he had already done a couple of those. I think he also played Thurgood Marshall in a movie. Then after that, I think he did The Five Bloods and like Ma Rainey's Black Bottom.
He wasn't really in The Five Bloods. He was like barely in it.
But he's in it. I say he shot it.
Sure, he
I'm
was
just,
in it.
I'm just talking
but
about what
like, he wasn't the star. He wasn't the
I'm
star.
I'm just talking about movies that he was in before he died.
Sure.
I'm establishing a baseline here. Okay. So he did those films, and then he passed away. I think it was. I want to say it was 2019.
Like before. Sounds about right.
So real quick, let me just. I mean, I'm fucking fact checking everything else. I'm gonna fact check that.
Sad day.
Oh, dude, that was awful. Awful time. Yeah, November. So it was August. Oh shit, it was August 2020.
Okay, that makes sense. I remember, yeah, it was like everybody was like, it was like during the end of COVID or whatever, and people were like, oh my god, this year's been awful. COVID, now chat, now Black Panther, Chadwick Boseman's dead. Yeah.
So yeah, I mean, it was 2020, obviously. COVID was happening. That delayed production, Marvel, all this stuff. Apparently, Ryan Coogler had the script for Wakanda Forever already done before he passed away. So then that happened. So he had to essentially pivot, rewrite the script. Then COVID drama. There's drama with apparently allegedly Letitia Wright not wanting to get the vaccine, which again, on my own personal beliefs, it is what it is. You don't want it, don't get it. You should get it. I got it. It's a thing. She was the star of this movie. It held up production for weeks. There's a lot of drama around her not wanting.
And she's not American. She's British. She's like a British national.
She's British,
which makes it worse.
Yeah. I mean, like, as I'm watching the film, I'm thinking about that time, and I'm wondering, like, did Angela Bassett get it? Did Winston Duke get it? I'm like, probably. No.
I mean, I was like, when I first heard, I was like, oh, is this like just some American brain rot type of thing that she's going through? But I was like, no, she's like European. And I'm like,
yeah, no. Like, I will speak on my knowledge or experience with Black friends and family culturally. there's a lot of, you know, people have their beliefs of naturalistic healing and stuff around modern medicine. So it's like, I'm not here to tell someone what they should and shouldn't believe or do. I understand why people do what they do. I'm of that ilk, but I also just got the shot because whatever. So that was happening. A lot of stuff. And oh, there's one more thing that happened during the production of this movie that I wanted to mention. Ryan Coogler goes to a bank to withdraw cash from the teller. Mm-hmm. He's wearing a mask. He's wearing a mask. It's COVID. He goes into the bank. He writes on a deposit slip, I want $10,000 cash, slides it to the teller. The teller is suspicious of him looking suspicious or whatever. Mind you, this is Atlanta, Georgia. I believe it was a black teller, well, female. Ryan Coogler's obviously black. It's not like a race on race or whatever. I think she just, whatever. She just assumed the worst. Turns out, she called the cops. They came. There's body cam footage of them walking up on Ryan Coogler with almost about to draw their guns. Then yeah. He's like, he's in handcuffs.
There's a whole video. There's the video.
There's body cam footage of it. So essentially he pulls the, you know who I am card. Rightfully so. He's handcuffed and he goes, look at my badge. And then they pull up his badge, Marvel, Ryan Coogler. Oh shit. We just directed the fucking director of Black Panther or arrested the director of Black Panther. I find that to be.
So that happened. Apparently the video was released around March 10th, 2022
this year.
Yes.
Yeah. So, I mean, the movie was about to wrap shooting because they're shooting it in Atlanta. Marvel has tons of, I think Pinewood Studios is in Atlanta. Also, they use Tyler Perry Studios.
Candyland.
Stop. Shout out to Atlanta, the show. But, yeah, so he was arrested, all that. So I find, like, with the death of Chadwick Boseman, with COVID, with the Letitia Wright bullshit, and Ryan Coogler getting arrested, I think that there was a lot against this. Plus the whole Marvel hate train as it is. Five things. There's five major things against this movie to just be bad.
George Whether Floyd?
Sure. You can throw that in there too.
All the social injustice stuff going around 2020.
Yeah, but it's sad that Ryan Coogler was kind of a victim of it.
Yeah. Like,
it's complicated because, it's in Atlanta. It was two black people. It's not like it was white on black or whatever, yeah. But I just found everything to be against this movie. So when I watched the film, my only hopes for it were that they successfully address the death, as well as putting all of the remainder of the story on the supporting cast and characters, giving them time to expand their characters and acting abilities and flesh them out, as opposed to what everybody wanted was to recast T'Challa. I didn't think recasting would work. What do you think? What would you have thought if they had recast him? So
I have a question. Chadwick Boseman dies. Ryan Coogler has the script. Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Now, it sounds like Disney said, hey, you still got to make the movie. Write another script.
You're contractually locked into fucking.
Well, that's what I'm saying. Bullshit. Like, I feel like I don't feel like there's been enough time between Chadwick's passing and this movie. Appropriate amount of time.
No, I don't think so either.
So fuck you, Disney, for probably forcing Ryan Coogler to make this movie. So weird, like he dies and immediately rewrites the script. They start shooting the next year or like 2 years or whatever.
He died 2020, so yeah, I would say like mid 2021 to mid 2022 is when they were shooting.
Crazy. He dies at the end of 2020, like 2020, right? Like he died like what we just saw.
August,
yeah, towards the end. So they probably didn't start filming probably till November, early 2021
or something like that.
Yeah, that's crazy.
I would imagine November, like in the holidays or maybe the beginning of the year, and then all the way up till this year, 2022, in the beginning of the year, they probably finished.
Yeah.
So, just I think production-wise and the history, like more than just Chadwick's death, there was a lot going on with this. It had to be made. I mean, I'm with you on that. Like,
weird.
It should have just been over. But the MCU is what it is.
It doesn't have to be over. I mean, just like It could you could have
well, all I, that all that to say though.
Did Black Panther need to be in this phase of Marvel movies? Like,
maybe not.
Did it? I mean, was there anything really connecting it to the Secret Wars or John?
No. No, something.
So it's weird. So it's like weird. Why are they making like weird? They put this force this movie to be made
to that point. To that point, there's a lot in the movie that I did not like. That was specifically there as Disney trying to set up other shit, which they always do.
Yeah,
but like I'm able to watch the movie and know all of these things about the production and the story and the Marvel, and I know all this, so I'm able to just watch it and get out of it what I need to get out of it, and by that standard, I was satisfied. I was very satisfied with what they did with it. Again, no spoilers right now, at least, but they addressed the passing of Chadwick in the movie, in the story. It's part of the story.
How did I?
They don't specifically say. They kind of just imply he was sick, which again, there's it being Marvel superhero shit. There's a lot of plot holes because it's like vibranium can stop bullets, or they can. T'Challa died in the first one, and they brought him back to life with the heart-shaped herb.
Mm.
But at the end of that last one, Killmonger burned all the heart-shaped herb, so there isn't any more. So they can't really revive him. So it's like, there's you know, you can have it one way or the other depending on your vibe of it. So I think like the characters actually have to deal with the passing of the king. And mind you, T'Challa's father died in Civil War in the beginning of that movie. So like Wakanda has had a history of their leaders dying and then them trying to find a new one. So like it set the groundwork, like I think it tastefully set the groundwork for leaving Wakanda open and vulnerable to the world, as well as another civilization being Namor and his underwater civilization coming in to attack Wakanda while it's vulnerable.
Mm.
That was all I was hoping for, that they would set up and pay off that aspect of it. And I thought they did. Angela Bassett, her performance, she was really like the focal. Her and Letitia Wright were really the focal points of this movie, but Angela Bassett's queen. You know, she lost her husband, she lost her son, she lost her nephew in Killmonger. So it's like there's a lot of a real life grief around the loss of Chadwick, but then in the movie there's a lot of grief around losing all these other characters. So like her performance really showed all that. I thought Letitia Wright acted her ass off in this, like having to step into that type of role, because I personally didn't want Shuri becoming the next Black Panther. I have a whole thing of what I wanted, but I didn't want that. I thought, like, I don't know, I just didn't want that.
Mm-hmm.
Part of me wonders if it's like if I didn't want a girl being the Black Panther or whatever. Like, I don't know, like she's much skinnier, she's smaller, she's like less intimidating. But I thought that what she did in the movie, I thought by the end of it, I just was like, I think she earned it. Like she had to act her ass off, all these emotional sequences, crying and dealing with the loss of her brother in the movie. But then I also remember like all of these actors lost their friend in Chadwick. Mm-hmm. So it's like for them to come to work every day and understand the severity of what they had to accomplish by like getting across what it's like to lose somebody in the real world. And obviously, you know what's going on in my life. We lost somebody here. So it's like, I don't know. It's like, it just felt very real. The movie felt very heavy and real, and it didn't shy away from the fact that people die.
Mm-hmm.
But I think in the context of Marvel, it gets kind of weird because fucking people come back from the dead and there's time travel and there's all this and that. So I think the criticisms of that are fair. I really like, obviously, the villain. Shout out. So fucking badass. Badass. So fucking cool, dude.
The Filipino king, baby.
Namor, the Submariner. The whole mythos of him and where he's from and how they addressed it and the visuals of it. Oh, the visuals are so fucking cool, dude. Obviously, I'm slightly biased. He's a Mesoamerican Mexican. Did you not know that? Are you joking?
I thought it was Filipino.
Are you joking? Are you being a douche?
I don't know if Filipinos have their own tribal culture, and they're much more involved in the
water. They specifically set the theme of Namor and his people to be the exact opposite of Jason Momoa's Aquaman Samoan theme type thing. So this is like Mayan inspired Mesoamerican off the coast of the Yucatan Peninsula. They're underwater. That's where they live.
Got mole under there? Any Mexican candies or
no? So funny enough, I thought the historical elements to it were accurate because when they emerge from the water and make their presence known, they're speaking an ancient Yucatan dialect. It's not Spanish. Their costumes and all their makeup was very authentic to what they imagined the Mayans wore. Obviously, you know I love the movie Apocalypto. It gave me a lot of Apocalypto vibes.
You just put Apocalypto underwater, sounds like.
Kind of. I mean, it really is like the whole parallel to like it's Wakanda underwater. Like they also have vibranium.
Huh.
Well, you know, there was a meteorite that crashed in Wakanda. It's like there was another one that crashed in the ocean. That's believable. I'd buy that. But everything with them was honestly, I think, worth the price of admission. Seeing the underwater city, the effects of how they did it. They're riding on the backs of orcas and sharks and shit. They're jumping out of the water with spears. Like they have like the big Mexican like feathers and the Aztec fucking. Oh, I got this. But look, dude.
Does he die at the end? Or is he like, I'm a good guy now?
No spoilers. I'm just talking about really cool stuff. The headpiece.
Explain his like stupid little feather on his ankles.
Yes. So Namor is a mutant. That is not a spoiler. They've been sowing the seeds for X-Men since Age of Ultron. With Wanda and Quicksilver being experimented on and having different. They're also the kids of Magneto in the comics, but their DNA is weird, and then Miss Marvel happens, and at the end of that, they tease that she's a mutant, has the mutant gene. And then in this movie, Namor is like, he's a baby in his mom's stomach, and she drinks the fucking heart-shaped herb shit, so it like fucks with his genetics and in the womb, and he's born like that. But all of it was cool. Like, I don't want to spoil too much, but he was, what was that guy's name? Tanakh Huerta, the guy that played him. Fucking awesome. So cool. I also really liked Danai Gurira as Okoye. Thought she stood out a lot to me. She was really funny and her action was fucking badass. Also, Lupita Nyong'o. Cool use of her character in this movie. Because I kind of forgot she was even in it. And then she shows up halfway through and she kind of has like an important thing to do.
How's Martin?
Martin Freeman. So it's funny. On my notes here, I've gone through everything. I have a pros and a cons.
Well, everything Black I've been Panther talking
about,
standout.
Everything I've been talking about was pros. This chunk at the bottom, definitely cons. Martin Freeman, Julia Louis-Dreyfus, they're in this movie.
Who's she play?
She's the same character that she was in Falcon and the Winter Soldier, bro.
How would I know? I didn't watch that.
I told you about it because I remember you didn't want to watch it.
And I forgot. I don't remember these things. I don't remember anything.
Like, oh, your girl's in this now. You don't watch
How am I supposed to remember that? I don't even fucking remember.
She shows up in the end of Black Widow, the end credit scene, because she's creating the fucking Thunderbolts. So she's like grabbing Florence Pugh from the Black Widow program. She's grabbing Wyatt Russell from Falcon and the Winter Soldier as the evil Cap or whatever. Harrison Ford's coming in as Thunderbolt Ross because they're gonna do a Red Hulk thing. It's all connected or whatever. But she's in this with Martin Freeman, and I thought all of their shit could have just been cut out. Didn't need any of it. Waste of screen time. This movie's already fucking too long. It was 2 hours and like 45 minutes. So long. I felt the length, don't get me wrong, but I was very engaged, so I didn't really mind it, to be honest. But it is long. I mean, shit, if they cut out the fucking Martin Freeman scenes, the movie would have been, what, maybe 220? That would have been better. I also didn't like the inclusion of Ironheart, Riri Williams. Didn't need her in this at all. Could have done without her whole subplot. That's one of the things they're setting up for a Disney Plus show as well. So every time she was on screen, I was like, I don't need this shit. Riri Williams is cool. Like, in the comics, she's an Iron Man protege, and she makes Iron Man suit, and she kind of takes over the Iron Man type deal. And this one, it's a little different. She's in Wakanda. They have the tech. I thought she was kind of the MacGuffin of this movie, to be honest.
She was the MacGuffin? They needed to get like, Ironheart?
She created a machine that looks for vibranium, and it was under the ocean. And so that's what triggered Namor. And so he thought that the United States government was coming to attack him. So he's like, we got to fight back. So he goes to Wakanda and he's like, hey, they're coming for our vibranium. We got to team up. He threatens them. Thus, the plot continues. But yeah, I didn't need Riri Williams. I thought her Iron Man suit looked kind of silly. Yeah. I also, you know what I'll compare her to? Did you watch Doctor Strange? She's kind of like America Chavez in Doctor Strange. It's like, I want to see Doctor Strange in this, but this fucking kid is like taking away too much time from the main stuff. I hate that stuff. But they have to set it up for the future, this and that, whatever. I also think that the villain, although as cool as he was, Namor and his whole thing, his motivation was very similar to Killmonger, where it's like they show you where he's from and his people and his what he's fighting for, and you're supposed to feel for it. But it was like him trying to get Riri Williams, I thought was kind of like, I'm like, you're stronger, dude. You can just fucking just kill this girl. Like, it didn't need to be there. And then the MCU jokes, they're in there. There's not a lot. There's not as many as there normally are, but they're in there. Yeah. Also, shout out to Ludwig Göransson, Swedish man, producer, composer. Incredible score. Like, all the stuff that you like from the first Black Panther, the little vocal, whoop, 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 the clicks and all that, like, that's there, but he did way more cool shit with it. Again, he did the score for Turning Red, he did the score for Boba Fett, Mandalorian, he's done the score for Creed, he's done the score for Black Panther 1, obviously. He's done all kinds of shit. So shout out to him. Oh, he did, he produced Awaken My Love with Childish Gambino. That whole album.
Big.
Yeah, so shout out to Ludwig. I guess I want to mention a few spoilers here at the end of my Black Panther rant. So if you don't want to have it spoiled, come back later, go watch the movie, do whatever you got to do. But spoilers here. Eric, I have a tweet here. Did I send it to you yesterday?
Is your Killmonger?
Yes. I think I sent it to you. Right? Oh, I sent it to your phone. Let me see. Let me pull it up. Bear with me, folkies. Here it is. So this tweet was from August 30th, 2020. I remember I was thinking about Chadwick. I was thinking about what they're going to do for Black Panther 2. I said, hope it isn't too soon. And obviously, I'm mourning the death of Chadwick, as everybody else. But I have a potential Black Panther sequel idea. Resurrect Killmonger from the dead via some spirit world Black Panther gods. He takes up the mantle as a new Black Panther. Coogler and Marvel swan song to T'Challa as the last fallen king of Wakanda. Killmonger redemption arc. Now, Killmonger does show up in this movie. This way, Letitia Wright takes the fucking... She recreates the heart-shaped herb in the lab. Through like, it's like a 3D printing machine, and she's been like studying the DNA of her dead brother because he had the stuff in his body. So she like creates a fucking helix DNA thing and can recreate the heart-shaped herb's properties, 3D prints it, they crush it up, she drinks it. That's how she becomes the new Black Panther. She has the power, the strength, the speed, all that. But when she goes to the spirit realm or whatever it's called, I forget. Like Chadwick did in the first one, he saw his father, he saw his ancestors. There's like a shot on the throne and she turns around and you think it's going to be, I thought it was either going to be Angela Bassett. Oh, spoilers. Also, she dies in the movie. Namor kills her, drowns her. Yeah. So Angela Bassett dies. Then she goes to the spirit world. I thought we were going to see Angela Bassett in the throne, but she's wearing all white and the camera pans and it's Killmonger. And it's like Michael B. Jordan, like long ass dreads, they're hanging, but they're tied up in like a bun. He has like this white robe on and he has all the scars and everything, and he's there, and he pretty much like, it's kind of like a Vader Luke thing where he's like, you know, you're not like your brother. Like, look what happened to your brother. He was too nice. He gets killed. He's like, you should be more like me. Like, essentially, he was essentially telling her to lean into her anger and kill, sacrifice Namor. Otherwise, like her brother, if she lets him go, she'll suffer the same fate. So that was like a really cool third act, like little twist where I'm like, oh, you know what it reminded me of? It reminded me of in Avatar Korra season 4 when she goes to fight Kuvira and then she has to go meet with Zaheer in the prison.
Yes.
And he's floating there and then she has a moment. It was very much like that where she's talking to dead Killmonger. So when I saw that, I turned to my cousin. I'm like, yo, I wrote this shit. Like, I swear I could have wrote this. But in my story, I wrote a way where you bring him back and then have him become the Black Panther. But with that, it wouldn't really make sense because if they could bring him back, then they could just bring T'Challa back. But he's dead, so they can't really do that. So what they did worked for me. But really cool stuff there with that. Winston Duke is M'Baku. He was great. Not enough time on screen, I thought, but he was awesome. Overall, I thought that they fucking did it. They did the thing. It was successful. It was emotional. There was the Marvel like thing in the beginning had just Chadwick, all of his scenes as Black Panther, but it was silent. It was silent, so there's no music. So it's like you could fucking hear a pin drop, dude. That theater was so fucking quiet. You heard like some people crying, like sniffling in the seeing him. I mean, I didn't cry, but I felt the emotion. I was watching it like this.
God damn it.
And then major spoilers for the ending. She becomes Black Panther. There's a whole sequence where they're on this fucking boat in the water. So Wakanda takes the fight to Namor's city. It's called Talokan. Mm-hmm. They take the fight to the ocean on this boat. And then like the fucking Dora Milaje is like jumping off the side of a boat, hanging on ropes. And then M'Baku's people are like holding them and like pulling them back up. And they're going down with spears and like stabbing them in the water. There's a whole sequence on the side of this ship. Black Panther Letitia Wright is flying on a ship. She captures Namor in the ship and starts to dehydrate him and like take all the water out of his. There's like this electromagnetic thing in the ship that sucks the water out of his skin. And so he starts dying. Ship crashes. He blows the ship up with his spear, crashes. They fight on the beach. She's about to kill him. She like fucking blows fire on him from the back of the ship. Like he didn't see it. So she activates the ship. It burns him to a crisp. He's still alive. And then she's like, surrender. Like, I'll kill you. And then she kind of has a flashback to her conversation with Killmonger. She's about to kill him. She doesn't. She's a hero. She saves the day. And then, of course, at the end, they're friends. And she's like, yield. We'll work together. I'll protect your country. If you guys need anyone, call up Wakanda. We'll call you. And then they go back to the fight with all the two clans. And then Namor and Black Panther are like, we're friends. So that's how it ends. But then
the Zoom is going to stop in a second.
All right. So. Oh, wait. Want to stop it or you want to just...
I'll stop it.
Fuck the Zoom shit. Anyways. There's one mid-credit scene, not a second one. And so in the story, so this is still spoiler territory. If you guys don't have to see, if you're still here, whatever. But Lupita wasn't at the funeral for T'Challa because she couldn't be there, didn't want to see it. It was too sad. So when she's living in Haiti, because remember her character is like a spy. She goes into Wakanda. She can infiltrate other countries. And also it was cool because the real Lupita can speak multiple languages. So she speaks English. I think she speaks Creole, French, and she's also a Mexican born citizen. So she speaks fluent Spanish. So in the movie, there's a part where she has to sneak into Talokan. And so she goes to the Yucatan Peninsula and she's speaking Spanish with the people there. And then they're all like, she's like poking around trying to find Namor, and then she switches to like the ancient Mayan language or whatever, Yucatan language.
Better like
That's cool. So at the end, Letitia Wright goes to Haiti to thank Lupita for helping her on the whole mission. And then there's like a whole grieving scene where they're burning the clothes from the funeral to like signify moving forward, accepting the death of Chadwick or whatever. And then the cuts to credits. You hear the Rihanna single. There's a Rihanna song. Then the mid-credit scene is like Lupita like brings out a kid. That was the kid's like, she's like, who are you? And he's like, I am Prince T'Challa, son of King T'Challa, whatever. Turns out she was pregnant. So she didn't show up to the funeral because her and T'Challa's secret agreement was to keep the kid away from Wakanda, to not be essentially put in a similar situation as Killmonger, like where he grows up away and then realizes that he's royalty and moves back. Like that all happened in the first one, and this one they kept the kid a secret. He knew his lineage. Like they didn't lie to him, but he never met the family in Wakanda. He was never around the royalty shit. And then there was like this whole sad moment where the kid, they're like, oh my God, the legacy lives on. And then Letitia writes like, Shuri's like, she's crying. Like, did my mom have a chance to meet him? Because Angela Bassett died halfway through the movie. And then she's like, yeah, she knew about it. So then I'm like, it was cool because it was kind of like, man. No, listen. It was cool because it was an in-story.
Don't worry, guys. There'll be another male Black Panther. You just got to give us a minute. There's going to be another male Black Panther. We promise.
I don't know what they do. I don't know what they do.
That's what they're going to do.
I have a theory. Hold on. Look, guys.
We got a man on standby. Don't worry.
It was like, you know, the story in real life that Chadwick Boseman's family didn't tell anybody that he was sick.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't tell Marvel. They didn't tell Kevin Feige. They didn't tell Ryan Coogler. Homie just died. And everyone found out. So in the movie, it was kind of like a cute little, they kept the kid away secret as like a parallel to like Chadwick's real life situation where like he just kept it removed from the public eye. I don't know. I thought thematically it was like tasteful. I'm like, oh, that was cute or cool or whatever.
I just don't understand the reasoning of keeping him from Wakanda.
Well, apparently that's what they're saying. Like in the movie, it was T'Challa's wish. Like with Lupita's character, because of the shit with Killmonger.
But Killmonger wasn't raised in Wakanda.
No, but I guess in the movie they said to keep him away from the pressures of the throne. Whatever. I thought it was well done. I mean, whatever. But
he already knows he's like the prince or whatever. He already knows. He already knows who he is. Like, what's the point of keep? If anything, wouldn't you want to keep him there to like, you know, he could use all the he can like. You could actually give him like a.
I mean,
you know,
not while there's fucking people war, or whatever. Not while you know? There's war going on. There's war going on in Wakanda. Like Wakanda gets flooded.
But before, but there wasn't the war. I thought this Namor secret war thing just started.
Sure, I mean, you got a point.
I don't know. To me, that if he did, if he was like, oh, he doesn't know who he is or whatever, I was like, oh, okay, I get it. But like the fact he's like, I am Prince T'Challa.
Yeah, he says that. He knows
like,
who he is.
Oh, you sound like you're gonna be the king someday, dude.
Well, that's the thing though. Shuri is the queen though, because once Angela Bassett dies, Shuri immediately becomes queen.
Yeah, but
they also,
the presence of a son of a king. Automatically dethrones Shuri is not
but
queen.
nobody knew though that was the thing.
But now that they know, you know what would be
interesting?
In Black Panther 3 Shuri tries to kill that fucking kid. That's real. You want to do some real like throne shit, some Game of Thrones stuff? I mean he's immediately a threat to her reign,
but it's her nephew.
But he is the son of the king.
Well then just fucking pass the reins over.
No,
when he's of age, just make him king.
But sure, but what happens if she doesn't want to?
I mean, the movie did kind of tease that with her, like almost becoming evil. Like she became queen. Killmonger told her to be evil, and she was about to. She like told M'Baku like,
man, they're gonna they're gonna make her fucking evil and make this.
They're not gonna do that.
And then have the male Black Panther come back and.
What's interesting is that people, of course, in the comics, Storm is the wife of Black Panther, and they're trying to slowly ease into the X-Men thing. So
they're gonna make the future Black Panther
Yes.
So when storm, are we going to get storm, the new when is storm, a man going to be Black Panther again? That's the question.
What I can see happening is if they do a Black Panther 3, we've already addressed the death in a tasteful way. Everyone is satisfied. The kid is there. Shuri's there. She can be like the new Angela Bassett type figure. The kid can be dealing with his whole throne issues or whatever. They can introduce Storm from Wakanda as a mutant, marry, and then introduce X-Men or do whatever they got to do. I just think that I'm like, they could maybe set it up for some X-Men Storm shit. But at the same time, if they had just ended it here, Black Panther's thing was done, I'd be totally content with that.
Hmm. Well, it sounds like there's going to be another Black Panther, and it's not going to be Shuri, so.
I mean, it's definitely of the Phase 4 movies being...
It's probably like a Phase 6 type of deal.
Phase 4 is Black Widow, Shang-Chi, Eternals, Spider-Man, No Way Home, Doctor Strange.
She'll get her own. She'll get another Black Panther movie where she's a star. And then after that, I think they're going to be like, all right, we got to get the man back in there.
Probably.
Everybody misses
I mean, Shuri's Black Panther suit looked cool.
Sure.
Also, she literally only becomes a Black Panther in the last like 20 minutes of the movie.
That's what I thought. That's what the trailer made about the
But scene. For me personally, I was cool with that because I wanted to see as much Namor as I could. And like most of the movie is focused around him. Him and the death of Chadwick is one thing, and then Namor's thing is another thing. But I think it's worth watching for sure for the visuals of the underwater shit. Like, way more interested in that than I was in the Way of Water, Avatar, the Way of Water bullshit. Which, if I had to see one, not the other, I would rather watch this and not that.
I agree with you. I'm not going to watch Way of Water anyway. So.
At least this is fucking Mexican themed and all that shit. Anyways, that's all I got for Black Panther.
Black Panther, man. I mean,
I almost said Black Panther Ragnarok.
Black Panther Ragnarok. Well, I feel like we have recorded a lot. That was a lot. That whole Black Panther segment was very long. Very insightful, interesting. As a person who's not going to watch the movie, I will definitely...
I feel like you'll see it at some point.
No.
No?
No.
Interesting. You racist ass fuck. Yeah, we can end
watch Creed
here.
3.
Anything you're looking forward to going forward? What's next for you, buddy?
I want to watch The Triangle of Sadness, but I can't find it anywhere.
Are you going to watch Don't Worry, Darling?
What is that?
Olivia Wilde, Harry Styles.
Oh, that's been out. No, I'm not going to watch that. No.
It's on HBO Max.
No, I'm not going to watch that.
I'm going to play more Sonic and God of War. That's what I'm going to do.
I want to play God of War. I want to finish Atlanta. I haven't finished it yet. I'm going to finish it tonight.
I have to watch the last episode. Yeah, I haven't finished it yet either.
I'm going to finish it tonight. And yeah, that's about it. I just want to play God of War. So,
what's the next Final Fantasy Crisis Core remake or whatever is January? It's
December.
December. Callisto Protocol's December.
December. Isn't Resident Evil 4 remake come out?
Yeah.
Anyways, got games, you know.
Oh, they're working on a Black Panther game.
Oh, who's making it?
I want to say it's Square Enix.
No. Thinking about the DLC.
No. Yeah, you're right. I'm looking it up. Fucking. I thought it was Amy Hennig or.
I don't know.
I know Amy Hennig's working on a Captain America Black Panther story based game, but I think there's also going to be like a solo Black Panther game.
Amy Hennig's last game was
Uncharted 3.
That's right. She has been on failed project after failed project.
It's not her fault, bro. It's the fucking, you know what it is? So they don't, the gaming industry only wants men to make games.
I don't know.
Also, she's a writer. I don't know. She's not like a programmer or anything.
No. But
yeah, but shout out to Amy Hennig. She wrote the best Uncharted game, Uncharted 2. All right. Tell the people where to find you. Let's get out of here.
Scooty Boo, baby, everywhere. Twitter's dying.
Are you editing this shit or am I editing this shit?
I can send it to you so you can edit it.
Okay, I gotta figure out what editing software I'm gonna use.
Didn't you already? Oh, yeah, that's right. I thought you didn't. But I could edit it, or if you don't have one, but
I can do it. I just gotta figure it out.
I'll just upload it to that shared folder we have on Drive.
Yeah, Twitter's dying. We'll see where it goes. I'm on there at JedXJordan as well as everywhere else, Twitch and Instagram and all that jazz. You're going to be streaming anytime soon? I think I might.
Call of Duty's new Warzone and stuff comes out next week, so definitely going to be playing with the boys, definitely going to be streaming. Excited for that. That's going to be really cool. They've announced a lot of cool stuff for Modern Warfare 2. So
I think I'm going to stream. I think my new computer monitor is here, so I think I'm going to stream Sonic Frontiers from the beginning because I need to get my soap shoes still.
Let's go, baby.
So shout out to streaming. Shout out to Black Panther. Wakanda forever! That's all I got. Also, Namor's people did a cool thing. They would do this to him. It's like a shark mouth or whatever is like thing. You're a Gator fan, right? Bro, you gotta watch it. You know what you gotta watch when it comes out on YouTube? You just gotta watch every scene with the Namor stuff on a YouTube 10-minute video. Then you're good. Just gotta watch that stuff. All right, everyone. Thanks for being here. Subscribe to On the Level. This podcast was very dumb and stupid, but we love it. Bye.